if you're going to do a lot of editing, you should re-record the beginnings. Like, December 13th, this is the T-Formers podcast, basically.
TFormers.com podcast. I'm your host, Iron High 1975. Prime, my circuits are sizzling. Anyhow, and I'm joined by, as usual, Z Piper and Ender. Gentlemen, hello.
Greetings.
Guten Tag.
Ooh, another Guten Tag. Usually that's what Z Piper says.
Really?
Are the roles reversing? Ooh. What is good? What is
sharing words like an old married couple?
Yeah. Aww. You get custody on the weekends.
Who do I get custody of?
You. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
My German's a little rusty, Anthony, but I believe Guten Tag is as good evening, is that, and it's Guten Morgen is good morning. Is that right?
That sounds right to me.
I think so, yeah.
Guten Tag just sounds better.
I'm just really quoted. I usually just, you know, quoted from Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade. You know, Guten Tag, Herr Jones. You know, there you go.
Oh, well, there you go.
Guten Morgen could be like ordering some sausages. It's
yeah.
That is, you know, it's the Tag that really makes it.
Yeah.
Something, you know, you can spit while you say.
No, spitting is for Klingon language, but.
And Welsh.
Yes. Anyhow, Jewish. before we get off on a tangent, we're on a very short time lease because Jason has to leave in like 30 minutes. We're jumping right into the movie news. And
yes.
The big news of this week is a leaked Transformers 3 movie script. And let me read you this wonderful little story here. It is a little bit of interesting news. When it rains, it pours. We've seen this enough now to know that this is a pattern. We get a whole bunch of news. All of a sudden, a fake script gets leaked and nothing to do with the actual movie. Then it turns out to be a lot like the final product. Coincidence? Well, here it is again, like clockwork, the third leaked script for the third Transformers movie. With nearly 2 years ago, read and prepare for the wine festival that is going to ensue. Just how you like it. So let me preface this. This is complete spoilers. I read this thing. I'm going to go into complete detail of the plot and everything. So if you do not want to listen to this, skip ahead at least 15 minutes in the show because this is probably.
I'm going to add another 5 to that for a rant. So you can maybe
okay.
20.
So, Jace, obviously, I'm presuming you have not read this yet, right?
That would be correct, yes, since you just emailed me the script last night at, like, you know, 11:30.
Do you want to know the plot?
Well, sure.
Okay. So let me summarize the plot for you shortly, and then we'll go into the details of whether it sucks or not.
Sick bags on standby, people.
Okay. So the Autobots bring the Ark to Earth, get into a massive battle with the Decepticons in space, go back in time to 1982.
No.
Yes. Basically, just as, you know, Shy is proposing to Michaela, and basically are in 1982, revert to their old 1982 formats. Prime loses his flames in a rather funny joke, gets his trailer, which is funny as well. They basically have a ton of references to G1, basically deal with everything they deal with the first two movies, you know, the generator under the pyramid, the Aerobots go get that, they also go get the cube, Megatron from the future dies, Megatron from the past comes back to life, and basically takes control of the Decepticons as a tank, aka G.I. Joe version Megatron. Basically, huge battle ensues, and basically then they get back to the future, and of course the future has changed.
Basically.
And, yeah. And yes. And then the basically new Cybertron is Mars. So
basically, yes.
Stop that. Damn you. And what am I missing?
Well, I got one. Well, it ends on a cliffhanger.
Ends on a cliffhanger. You have.
I got it basically.
You have Aerobots. You have Combaticons. You have their old formats. You have references. You have.
You have more new characters per page than War and Peace.
Spike meets his grandfather.
Sparkplug.
Yeah, they basically dress in old 80s clothes, make fun of Knight Rider with Bumblebee. Bumblebee actually talks.
No, he doesn't. He does Kit's voice.
It's sort of like what they did with Star Trek. Let's keep the old timeline, but let's go back and change the timeline through time travel, and then we can reset the script and do anything we want to do with it. And that's
I don't know. To me, that's something that you do after you've had a franchise that's been around for a while.
That's like a 45-year continuity kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Star Trek franchise, that's been around. I mean, yes, Transformers has as well, but not in movie form. You know, we've had two movies so far. I mean, you have to be admitting to yourself that you really screwed the pooch if you're going to need a continuity reboot after two movies.
Well, it's basically from what I
You know, before we get too far into dissecting the script, which we can still do if you guys feel like, but quite frankly, I have a basically for this. Basically, it's a fanfic.
I know.
It's a fake. It's a fake.
That's what I thought too. Because it's now. Don't get me wrong. It's written well, but it does not sound like a Michael Bay movie.
It's not a Michael Bay movie.
It's got more drama in it than you know. Actually, you know, it really does
might be the good action scene that Bay would want.
There's like two.
Well, it's like wow, everybody. Could it be any more fan to be like, okay, so we're gonna go back to the 80s. We're all gonna have our 80s car modes. We're going to turn into what we turned into in, like, G.I. Joe. I mean, like, it's like, what, page 10 before Prime says all we need is a little Energon and a lot of luck? I mean, give me a break. I got to be honest. I skimmed most of this. I read, like, the first, like, 15 pages. And, like, once I realized it was a fan fiction, I just knew that I had something better to do for the rest of my life.
So you don't think this is real at all, then?
No. If it is, I mean, like, the only thing that would make me believe this is real right now is if Kruger got fired next week.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is not a Michael Bay movie.
Well, that's the thing, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jace.
Well, I was just going to say, and really, as far as I'm concerned, you can count on probably two fingers the amount of successful franchises / movie whatever things that successfully did time travel. Time travel is usually the death knell. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Oh, yeah. I mean, Star Trek overused it. I thought it was all right in Star Trek 4, but damn near anything else in the series that they used time travel for was incredibly ham-fisted and ridiculous, and at some point had so many loose ends hanging out there. You know, it just ruined it for me, and I really hope that Transformers, I hope it is indeed fan fiction, because I don't want to see time travel in Transformers right now. I don't. It's like they live, you know, potentially, if they don't get shot, millions of years themselves. So really, you know, it could just be like a Futurama thing. You bury Bender in the ground for a few million years and you got him in the future. He's no problem.
Well, but see, the problem is, though, I really like the script.
And that is reason enough not to make it.
Stop. It's actually it fixes all the loopholes with the first two movies. It resets the paradox. It sets everything up with a really – I mean, part of the problem is that there's a lot of voices with – there's a lot of the Transformers talking. There's very little Sam and Michaela, which would require, I'm thinking, a lot in terms of the rendering farm to do. I mean, literally, it would be like a completely animated movie the way that's currently written. But
the story's not about Sam. And that is why it's not real.
Two things that you just said absolutely seal the deal for me as it not being legit. One, that it fixes all of the plot holes and the loose ends, because Michael Bay doesn't care about those kinds of things. He's never cared about, you know, filling in the mighty potholes on the roads in his movies. So that shoots it to hell right there. And the fact that he's not going to use his little brunette bombshell, you know, boobs a bouncing girl, you know, as much, come on. I mean, think about where he came from and what he's trying to sell. You know, if he had a choice, man, all the dialogue would be, you know, closed captioned on the bottom with, you know, Michaela's bouncing breasts, you know, following along.
Right, right.
Blowing up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like Bay to me now.
I know. It doesn't sound like Bay. I mean, you read the script. It's like, this sounds like.
It's not a professional caliber script.
You don't think so?
Not at all. The dialogue is really stilted. There's about 17 too many expositions.
Well, it's an early working. You figure they would tighten it up a little bit as they went along. I mean, it's just like.
I just can't imagine handing somebody a draft with this much exposition in it.
Yeah, I understand.
There's like 15 scenes that are like, and blah, 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 blah. Then we use this thing. Blah, blah, blah. They're like standing around talking to the Hadron converter. I mean, like, you know.
Well, what is that? But that, wasn't that the biggest complaint? The fans for the last couple of movies is that there was not
a fan. No one cares. Ethan Kruger is not writing a movie for the fans. They've made this excessively clear. And for good reason. And I think this script proves why. I don't think a non-fan could read this script and understand what the hell they were talking about.
Yep.
Well, that's a good point.
This is a we're sitting here as fans going, oh, look, this seems reasonable, but it's not.
No, I tend to think.
And that- I'm not a person who's like, you know, I want it to be more G1. If anything, the first movie was too G1. It was too simple. I've always thought that, you know, it needed a proper update. And they've done some of that to some degree where they've created a universe that's a little more simplified for the movies. And that's okay. When I complain about the movies, it's like a structure and dialogue problem. It's not because they've, you know, arrived at some colossal premise fail. This erases like their entire premise and resets the movie basically back to season 3 of the Sunbow cartoon.
But isn't that what the
Why would they do that? Because, why do they care what the fans want? Because, we couldn't buy the coffee for the movie.
You couldn't buy the coffee for the movie.
Yeah, we couldn't. If you had the entire fandom just to show up for the movie and nobody else, they couldn't pay for the craft service cart.
Oh, that's okay. I wasn't sure what you meant by that. Yeah. I don't know. I tend to think, Andrew, if this was done really, really well, it could be a major epic and be like the savior of the whole movie franchise and be like Lord of the Rings.
I think this would be a terrible, dialogue-heavy, stilted, slow.
But you always complain there's not enough dialogue.
No. I never say enough dialogue. Good dialogue. I'm talking about quality, not quantity.
Draft.
This has enough dialogue to choke a horse.
Well, but it isn't necessarily – yeah, and the problem is that Michael Bay would not do a dialogue movie. He would do more of a
– blow up, look at these breasts.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
You're not supposed to have a lot of dialogue. You're supposed to be able to – all these things they're talking about are things you're supposed to be able to show. Well, and I guess Ethan Kruger could just be completely inept. But I would – I mean, like, this is like a film school script that would get a D because it has too much exposition and has – structure.
Well, see, to me, it would be like it reads very much like the Star Trek script. It's like the guy who did it would be J.J. Abrams doing Transformers.
Okay, well, the Star Trek script sucked. The script sucked. The time travel, we have to have Leonard Nimoy in the movie thing was crap. What saved that movie was J.J. Abrams is a genius director, and he had a brilliant cast who did a great job evoking the base core line of a 45-year-old successful franchise. That's the same thing, not its script.
I think we're just gonna have to disagree on that point. It's for sake of time. But all right, so are we?
That's why we need to have a Star Trek podcast, so I can yell at you properly.
See, this is why. This would be a script that I would write. This is something that I think I would sit down and try and figure out. Okay, how can I tie everything together, make the fans happy, and produce a truly good piece of art, not just something with a lot of blow-ups and action sequences.
This isn't it. This is not that. I don't see that here. I see it being a little fun for fans, but it's a complete fail on the regular front.
Maybe this.
It's not a movie. It's just not a movie. It might be a comic book, might be a novel, you might even be able to pull this off in a cartoon.
Well, maybe direct a DV sequel or something.
Well, yeah. I mean, if this person wanted to write, I mean, like, they're trying to get back to G1. This whole movie is about. They go back to the 80s. They change the timeline. I mean, what, we end up with like Ultra Magnus is in charge of Autobot City and Cybertron's nearby and they're going to go fight for it. So basically it's what? It's the setup for the 86 movie. Bay is not setting up to remake the 86 movie. This universe is not set up to become G1. Right. And as much as I haven't liked what they've done with it, it is not the fault of the universe they created. And that's all that gets attacked here. I don't like Flames on Prime any more than, you know, anyone does. But I'm not, you know, having a movie about removing them is just silly at this point.
Well, see, and that's the
thing. It's a fan thing.
And that's the only thing that sort of made me think that maybe this wasn't exactly a legit script, because when they took that off and they sort of said, we're going to. But I don't know. I could see this being a movie. Let me say this so we can move on. Okay.
You have to take a shot for that? You said move on.
You know, you just brought my train of thought more than ADD does. You know that? They should just call you Ender ADD. I think this movie could be done.
Endered?
I think this movie could be done right if it was done right. Oh, damn it. All right, just move on to the next.
It would be good if it was good. Yes.
Yes, I'll agree with you there. I will sign on with that platform.
I'll say this. I like the script. I think it was a good first draft. I don't think it's going to be the actual movie, but I think that this could be, if this was done well, this could be an actual well-done movie. Then again, I like Star Trek Nemesis, and a lot of fans don't, but then again, a lot of people in this world are not super geniuses like me.
I like Star Trek Nemesis.
Oh, good. Then we have another review we can do then. Great. Or commentary. Which, by the way, if you want to catch the commentary, you could go to my personal site. Me and Andrew did the commentary for Star Trek V, and boy, it's amazing how long that movie is. We need to do commentary. All right, that being said, moving on, Jace, to the first other movie news story, if you would, please.
That was the only movie thing that we had.
Amazing Optimus Prime 7-foot custom robot auction.
I guess that's a movie. All right. So if you've got 15 minutes to read West Lowe's pitch, you're in for quite an interesting story. And it sounds a lot like some get-rich-quick deal, but he's definitely got plenty of images to show and much to explain about his mission to sell a 7-foot Optimus Prime made from actual car parts. So put the wallet away. The starting bid is $47,000 Australian, which translates to 43,000 US. I didn't know our dollar was stronger than theirs. Huh. So this unit is off the charts when it comes to custom action figures. It is a solid welded steel, kind of hunk of metal, and must weigh near a ton. So forget the auction price. The shipping is going to be a killer. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool. It looks like somebody spent a lot of time, and this is probably for the same kind of person that when Sharper Image used to have their stores that would go in and buy the 6.5-foot tall Superman statue.
Yeah, this thing's, I mean, it's 7 foot, but I mean, it's probably, I don't think you could even pick this thing up.
Yep.
I'd be impressed if you could, but if it's made from car parts, you know, yeah, that's hunks of metal. And yeah,
I say call me back when I can serve me a drink.
Yeah, I mean, this is cool. And I suppose if I had, you know, mucho dollars and $47,000 was not a big deal for me.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it's definitely a work of skill. It looks very good. I agree. But oh, that was the last thing you heard. Huh?
Yeah.
Lovely. I was just saying that. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's a big chunk of metal, but at the end of the day, unless, $47,000 was just a drop in the bucket for me, I think I'd look at it and, you know, kind of have the same, you know, same feelings that most of the people who probably bought those $2,300, 6.5-foot tall Superman statues be like, oh, I've got Superman in my living room. Okay. And then you eventually just like hang a coat on him.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, it's made out of car parts. And I mean, it must have been a tremendous effort. I don't want to downplay what this
person. Oh, yeah.
But it'd be a fun thing if you did it yourself. But I kind of look at this thing and think, like, okay, if this was a custom figure somebody made out of plastic and it was, I don't know, 1.5 feet tall, it would look pretty bad. You know what I mean? Like,
so you're saying you
like,
want,
if
you
I
want.
Discount the effort that the person put into it, like I'm looking at it, like you kind of value it, like, wow, that must have been really hard to do. But yeah, in terms of a personal value to me who did not put that effort into it and who cannot buy that effort from you, it is not worth that effort.
Yeah, and it's not exactly looks like, I mean, some of the proportions are off, and it doesn't exactly look much like the movie Prime, but, I mean, kudos to the guy who did it. He obviously put a ton of work into it.
And you know, if somebody doing that for themselves is like, you know what, I want a 6-foot-tall metal Optimus Prime. If I went over to this guy's house, I'd be like, man, that's awesome. And he'd be like, would you pay me $45,000 for it? I'd laugh.
Yeah, I'd be like, hell no.
It's like I'd give you $200 for it.
Yeah.
That shipping, it'd kill me getting it home, even if I lived up the street.
Yeah. It's like if I came home with that thing after spending $45,000, I would get divorced. I don't want to get divorced, Jules.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that being said, once again, time constraints on upon us. Let's go on to the toy news. And the mysterious Frenzy Rumble figure is that we talked about a couple weeks ago is actually a fan custom. The dubbed P8-01 Shadow Warrior originally showed us the prototype figure. He provided two images of the same figure in the stage of further production. And this is basically, let's see here, Mysterious Frenzy and or Rumble figure that was treated to us every month as a fan-made figure. So probably not going to be able to order that anytime soon. That being said, continuing forward with the next news story, Ender, do you have your email?
Vaguely. It's still not working properly, I'm afraid.
Okay, then Jason.
Well, what is the story? And I probably...
new official images, Revenge of the Fallen images, and it's... I'll just read it here for you. Thanks to Hasbro, sends a whole bunch of new images, including shots of the upcoming Transformers Revenge of the Fallen action figure. First up is the deluxe class figures, our Alliance, Bumblebee, Dirge, Tuner, Mudflap, and Armorhide. So basically, it's new toys that they're releasing. So basically, Mudflap comes with Agent Simmons, which I have to say is probably the goofiest photo you could ever put on a toy box. And then basically we have him riding, I believe, one of the RC bikes. And what else here? We got Mudflap. We have Alliance Bumblebee, which basically has just the Nest symbol on it.
I thought these were pretty unexciting.
Uh-oh. Ender, you turned to a cyborg.
We're back.
Yeah, experiencing all sorts of technical issues, of course, with this show. Armorhide, which is looks like one of the military vehicles, and you're not thrilled, are you?
I'm so sick of this line. Have I mentioned I don't like this line?
I don't think you have.
Because I mean, I could go into depth about how much I don't like this line. I dislike this line so much that I imported a toy from this line from Japan. And it's a remold of one I already had. which would, of course, be Buster Prime.
Which you said was actually really good, though.
Yes, yes. No, the shining jewel of this line. And again, it's not my favorite mold. It's not my favorite design. But I cannot deny that the toy that was made of Movie Optimus Prime for Revenge of the Fallen, I think is one of the high points of the entire franchise. It is a fantastic toy. It is absolutely wonderful. The only reason I dinged it at one point and gave it a 9 is because Hasbro put it in a box that said 5 and up, and a 5-year-old could not transform this toy. It's just not going to happen. I'm sure there are a few exceptional 5-year-olds who can, but for most parents who are reading a review and looking at this, they needed to know that this was a toy that was a robot that your child could hand you to turn into a truck.
Yeah.
And you could hand back to them as a truck.
And that's probably what they're going to be doing no matter what.
If they slapped a little die-cast into this baby, it would be a masterpiece. This is a great toy. Just on the basis of it turns something that I wouldn't have thought could be represented this accurately from its CGI counterpart into just like a really real looking version of Movie Prime. And it's fantastic.
Cool.
But when they pull these things out, it's just like, wow, more of this over detailed kibbly crap.
Chase, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ender pretty much summarized that pretty well for me. This line does not do a damn thing for me. I mean, it just, yeah, I mean, I don't think I need to reiterate what Ender said. I will just simply, you know, give a, you know, Reagan, you know.
What the
I
hell
agree.
Is that?
You ever see Blazing Saddles?
That's a Blazing Saddles reference, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
I heard that. All right. Yeah. All right. I think the only good thing about this line is that it could be easily sorted with a snow shovel.
God. All right. So then I guess we'll go on to some other good news is that there's a new Transformers video game.
And yes.
Oh, my God.
This I am happy about.
Ender,
I am happy
Ender,
about
calm that. Down, Ender. Contain yourself. Do not blow your head off. Okay. Or head explode or whatever. Anyhow.
See, I'm happy about something. He tells me to shut up.
I know, I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. And
oh, you weren't being sarcastic there?
No. No, dude, this is great.
True, genuine joy from you.
It's
is
so hard to tell.
Is such a rare thing.
You're gonna get a twice on this subject too.
It's like a unicorn. You know, there might be one or two in the world, but you see one and you just don't believe it.
Jason, I actually changed the quote under my picture in the T-Formers forums to something you said about me.
It's what was that? Just,
and the Ender's heart grew three sizes that day.
Awesome.
All right. Well, since you're so excited about it, tell us about this new video game.
Okay. This game, I've been suspecting something was going to come out like this since I talked to the Activision guys way back when. They seemed to be hinting they wanted to do something yearly. They wanted to do something outside of what, you know, the media that we were getting. And this game, we first heard about it in Game Informer. There's a 6-page article, got a lot of pictures, and they're sort of G1-esque. But what's awesome about this game is it's before the Earth stuff. It has a little trans tech influence, honestly. And it's like fighting robots on Cybertron, which we like never get, despite it's the kind of the premise of the franchise. We almost never really get to see them like have this civil war. And that seems to be the premise of the game. We got new G1-esque, but not G1 designs of a lot of interesting characters. I mean, there's a new Megatron, turns into a tank kind of thing. Which actually, the alt mode reminds me of Optimal Optimus from Beast Wars, the way his sort of fists come over his head. We have a Prime who turns into a very trans-tech-looking version of if you've ever seen those old designs of what he used
like
to.
He looks like the War Within Prime almost, I want to
say. He has some elements of that, too. It's really a kind of a combination of both, which is really appropriate for what this is. I think we've seen Ironhide, we've seen Soundwave, and in a very cool preview, which sadly looks very pre-rendered and doesn't really give us an indication of what the game will be like, but we've even seen what looks like Omega Supreme.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's impressive. Yeah. It really
is. This could still be the arena game, even. I kind of mentioned it. There were certain elements I noticed that seemed to give a battle, you know, one-on-one battle feel. I don't know if it'll be that or not. Not one-on-one, but sort of, you know, shooting at each other, you know, built for multiplayer. What I did notice is modular weapons. You see Prime holding an axe. I think there's one shot of someone else holding the same axe. I know there's a few people holding the same gun. This says to me that there's either customization or pickups and that kind of thing that people will have in common. There's supposed to be an Autobot and Decepticon campaign, which is always important in these games. I don't think they're ever going to be able to get away from that, and that's probably a good thing. But it just looks awesome. These are great designs. The game looks really good. And I just couldn't be more excited about the game. I've seen nothing bad about it yet. You know, I haven't seen any gameplay yet, so it's really impossible to tell until you see some gameplay. And really, it's impossible to tell until you get a little hands-on time with something to really get into what the game's about.
Well, first
but I'm excited about this. This is great. And these guys made a decent Revenge of the Fallen game. That Revenge of the Fallen game, I think, is probably the height of, except for maybe Leader Optimus Prime, of the Revenge of the Fallen merchandise that came out. That game is actually a good playable game, and it is still the best Transformers game we've ever gotten so far. So this is what they're following it up with, and it's not mired down in the movie. I think this could be really great.
What's the scheduled release date? Do we have anything yet?
I think they're talking like next year, 2010 sometime.
So probably like third quarter.
Yeah, I almost hope it's a little late because I the more time they put into it, the better it'll be. That's sort of the law of video games.
Hey, I got to reconnect with you guys. You just both turned into Cylons again.
The Earth is doomed. You will be assimilated.
No, so, not Cylons, not Borgs. Hold on one second.
I just couldn't think of anything to say.
Hold on one second.
We appreciate you listening.
Yeah,
I was trying to think of what the Cybermen say, but I couldn't think of anything.
The screenshots on this are really, I'm just looking at the view of the city is just like, this is what Cybertron should look like in the movies, in my opinion. Not that like organic looking world that we got in like the first movie. But let me see the link here. I mean, it's just beautiful. And I love Prime's design. It looks like what Prime would be on Cybertron.
Yeah, no, it's really great. And I'm gonna take this transition from you. No drink for you, people who are listening. This transition is easy. There's a toy line. It's gonna have a toy line. We've seen a prototype from this. We talked about it before, months ago. And this little Prime we saw, it doesn't look very big. Somebody even said it looked like a Legend class, but it is an exact match for Prime's alt mode that we have seen in the trailer now. This is important, people. This means that there is life beyond animated. That we will get another toy line of good figures that is not these kibble-tastic Bayformers and their godforsaken repaints. There is a good toy to buy on the horizon that is not the dregs of animated that we will get dropped off for us at the end of this year.
Amen, brother.
Next.
Say it, brother.
There will be good Transformers again.
Give it to him.
I am ecstatic.
Should I put the music behind this again like I did last week's show?
I loved that.
The timing was great. You edited just at the end, too. It's like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
That was just brilliant.
Don't go do-do-do-do
behind me, though.
Okay. Well, obviously. So it looks like we're actually going to get toys for this game, and possibly this game could be the actual maybe upcoming cartoon series, maybe?
No.
Damn.
I had this brief moment of like flowering hope for that. It was like, maybe they'll do this.
Well,
next line. And then I realized it was just too cool for that. There's no way. It's going to be something movie based.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, it looks really cool. So, I mean, I'm hoping for Christmas Santa Claus brings me a PlayStation 3, and then I can join all you guys on Transformer Land. So.
No, because we all have 360s.
Oh, God darn it, that's right. Well, get a PlayStation. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
That's right, fandom. All of you. Replace the game systems for Anthony, who can't be bothered to buy one.
Yes. Well, actually, I just don't have the money to buy one.
Despite a promotion and working 60 hours a week at work.
And making a ridiculous amount of money as it is, he never has money.
Well, first of all, it's not a promotion, but it is more money possibly coming in, so I may have actual money.
No, is it more money? More money?
I won't.
Promotion. Money, not promotion. More money? Promotion. Okay.
No, it's called just doing more hours of work, and they charge you time and a half for overtime. So it's not a promotion. We'll get to that special announcement at the end of our show. Anyhow.
Sorry, everybody. That was a continuity error.
Yeah.
I've been reading too much IDW. What can I say?
We'll just slingshot around the sun. That'll fix everything.
Oh, God. You guys are rough. Tough crowd.
Hey, on that happy note, sadly, because my boss is an idiot, I need to leave.
You sure you want to say that?
Oh, I'm so worried that he's going to be listening to this.
You never know.
He's like the IRS. He doesn't have a sense of humor that he's aware of.
Oh, all right. Well, then.
And Jason, what's his email address?
Yeah.
Well, Jason, thank you once again, and we will see you next week.
I'm sorry to have to bail so early, gentlemen. So enjoy the rest of the day and the podcast, and I will see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week. I miss you already.
Aw, baby.
I don't.
Now I'm going to have to verbally abuse Anthony all by myself.
You've been doing a pretty good job of it.
I was gonna say,
so
you need help.
Yeah, I mean, you're not really like I'm a missile. I go in, I directly hit the target. You're like a train, man. Once you just go in, it's just like total collateral damage all around. We can't stop you from talking. I mean, it's insane.
Say that again. All right, thanks, Jace. We'll catch you later.
Have a good one, guys.
Have a good one. Talk to you later.
All right. That being said, Ender, why don't you pick up the next story then?
Basically,
get out of here.
Okay, bye.
Lord, how'd I get involved with you guys?
Oh, because we love you.
Oh, well, that's true. But not in a non. Wait, what's the joke there?
It's tough love. That's all.
Yeah, that there's a joke there somewhere that anyhow.
Hey, can I say something else?
He's still here, ladies and gentlemen.
He's still here. What?
So I've got Windows 7 in the new computer, and I can't figure out how to end this damn call.
Hey, Jace.
Yeah.
Does this sound like me hanging up on you? Oh.
Anthony, the spirit of Christmas vengeance.
Bah, humbug, bitches. All right. All right, TCC exclusive Dion figure to include Henke Hot Rod Missiles. And I'm going to read this because, damn it, I'm on a roll. The Transformers Collectors Club has announced through their website in their 2010 club exclusive figure Dion, whatever the hell you want to call it, will include the Tomei Takara Henke Hot Rod Hotshot Missiles. The missiles are exclusive to the Henke version of the mold. Oh, my God. Dion is a repay of Transformers Armada Hotshot mold as a homage, whatever, to the Generation 1 character.
Homage for you English teachers.
Eh? Exactly. Any club member with the active membership as of March 16, 2010 will be given opportunity to purchase the opportunity to purchase it? You don't get free? I thought it was free.
No, it is free. It comes with the club membership. All I got to say about these hot rod missiles is this is news.
Well, I was sort of trying to find decent news this weekend.
Accessory news? Yeah, I guess.
Yes,
your orange hotshot will come with missiles from Hot Rod.
Yay.
What I want to know is about the Minicon. Does this thing come with the Minicon? Are they going to come up with an excuse for the Minicon? Are they going to repaint it pink and call it what's her name from that episode? I can't remember.
Oh,
Scaleface.
Before Alita.
Ariel. I got it. I don't need help. It's Ariel.
Good job, Ender.
Yeah.
So that being said, any thoughts or just move on to new shots of Deluxe Brawn, Lockdown, Ratchet, and Skystalker?
Well, since you've already moved on, let's go.
All right. Well, basically, thanks to Yizai from TF08.net, has posted images of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Oh, great. You're going to hate this. We'll be coming next year. The new shots of Brawn, Lockdown, Ratchet, and Skystalker offer some new angles of these toys in alternate modes. I seem to remember, hold on, look at the toys now. I seem to remember really liking Brawn.
I'm okay with Brawn. What I really want out of here is the Lockdown.
Yeah, Lockdown.
This should have been Classics Lockdown, and Bludgeon should have been Classics Bludgeon.
Right.
And then I wouldn't have to, you know, sully my shelves with things with the Revenge of the Fallen brand on them.
Well, I think Brawn 2 is almost Classics-ish.
He's Classics-ish, but he's not a really good remake of Brawn in that sense. And quite frankly, I'm comfortable with the cut off in my prime.
I know. It's like I'm comfortable with – and it's
I'm comfortable with the Legends class Brawn because those always were small characters. And while it'd be cool to get a little bigger one, they never were big.
Yeah.
You know, a nice small Brawn was fine by me. It looked good. I think you can make a nice G1 remake, better technology, better plastic set out of a lot of the stuff they've made already. And he was supposed to be a small figure, and I'm okay with that. If they want to make a bigger one, that's fine, but I'd rather see a proper Classics one. And it's sort of – is this a repaint? Or is this another figure? I'm not sure.
For what, Brawn?
Yeah, for Brawn. Did they make it?
I think he's a brand new figure I believe so.
See, they just haven't accomplished what they did with Bludgeon, where Bludgeon is just you can kind of pass him as a movie figure, but he's really a Classics figure.
Yeah, see, I'm looking at Brawn on these one of these photos with, I have to say, a very interesting couch behind. He does. He's sort of like a mix between movie and classics, but I like him. He looks halfway decent as a toy. So
yeah, I'd say that would be one of the ones I've considered more than some others. But yeah.
The three ones I definitely would want to pick up from this line. And right now, I don't have any from Revenge of the Fallen, except I think Rampage is Bludgeon, Lockdown, and Brawn. And maybe the Leader Prime that you talked about. Beyond that, and of course, Jetfire to go with them. But beyond that, I think I'm pretty much good to go in terms of any toys I want from this line. I'd rather spend my money on any of the classics that I haven't gotten, or the continual repaints of Universe that keep coming out, which I think I got my sisters to actually buy me to keep my collection complete. But we'll see what happens when Christmas/birthday comes around. That being said, that's it for toy news.
Before we move on from toy news, I think it's important to point out the service that I have done to the entire toy community in the last 2 weeks. There is now a Buster Prime and Jetfire in a multi-pack.
Really?
Yes.
Where?
It's up for pre-order at Big Bad Toy Store.
Oh, nice.
The difference between the regular Buster Prime that I noticed was the some of the chromed parts, in particular the sort of window shade things, are gold instead of silver on the Prime. I didn't notice a lot of big differences in the Jetfire, but quite frankly, it's Japanese, so it's probably of higher quality than we're going to get. Hopefully, we'll get some kind of two-pack like that here. The packaging mold is very similar. I mean, almost.
What's
exactly
the going price?
I want to say $160 off the top of my head.
Huh.
I think it's around that.
That's a little.
It's
that's
expensive.
A little yeah,
it's
a little
expensive,
pricey.
But these are the nicer import versions of the toys. But I have said for months, and I think people could probably go back into our podcast and find this. I said, as soon as I buy a Prime and a Jetfire to combine, they will release a two-pack. I bought Buster Prime, and I swear, the day I bought a Jetfire for $35 at Target, it just popped up. I came home, I turned on the computer, like, here's your two-pack. So that's me, all right? That is irony is the most powerful force in the universe, and I have used its mighty furnace of magic to spew out a two-pack into the fandom. So you're welcome.
Well, Ender, thank you again for once again making the world a better place.
It's been really disappointing. We haven't done our Muppet episode.
Oh, well, yes, that's true. So
maybe we'll do like a special edition Muppet episode one day.
Well, maybe there's some other works in store for us, at least comedy-wise. So,
all right. I think that's Spinal Tap scene, isn't it? Like, maybe we can get back to that, you know, musical we were doing.
Yeah, get back
to the naughty one, Saucy Jack. Yeah,
that's pretty good. Once again, Ender, you do some damn good impressions. So,
underutilized, I might add.
I do. Well, maybe I'll write you some of my comedy scripts here. So. All right, let's move on to some cartoon news. And we have first insights of the new Transformers cartoon, Michael Bell as Ratchet. And our good friends over at the Moon Maze 2 podcast, which is a very good podcast with a lot of great British accents over there as well, except there is a reel. Some secret tidbits in their recent interview with Michael Bell, the voice actor has revealed the next Transformers cartoon is presently being cast by Susan Blue. Awesome. Who handled the cast of Transformers, Animated Beast Wars, and pretty much everything else Transformers at this point.
Susan Blue, we should point out, she did Animated. She's the voice of RC on Animated. She's the voice of the original RC. She's the voice director from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen. This is an incredible voice director who has lended quality cartoons in ways that few of us will ever understand. Added a lot of quality to a lot of shows in the last few years.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where I was going with that point.
And Gary Chalk, funny, this is sort of just a little personal, that I was delighted to see he got some work in Watchmen. I finally got around to watching it the other day.
Oh, really? Well, what do you do in Watchmen?
He's one of the main generals who talks to President Nixon.
Oh, okay.
If you listen, you'll hear him.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't even aware of that. Anyhow, so...
You want to get a good look at Gary Chalk, everybody. Pull Watchmen off your shelf if you own it, and you have a shot of him.
If you want to really... Well, you know, at some point we have to review that movie, too, but we'll save that for another day.
Oh, I could totally go off on that. No, Gary Chalk, I had this a BotCon years ago, probably the last one in Chicago, which is close to where I live. I was just walking down a hallway in the downstairs of this hotel, and he was giving some kind of talk. Maybe he was in a panel. And I just hear this voice echoing down the hallway, and he's talking about this teddy bear somebody gave him. And it was just so surreal because it was just, oh, my God, Optimus Primal is talking in real time down the hallway because I couldn't see him. I could just hear the voice. It sounded like Optimus Primal was giving a speech in this room.
And he was talking about a teddy bear. That's even more surreal.
Somebody gave me this teddy bear yesterday, and I really was like, oh, my God. Like, because it felt like you could walk around the corner and peek around the door, and there would be, like, you know, Transmetal Optimus Primal standing there with a teddy bear.
This has been this week's Stories with Ender, brought to you by AT&T, putting the world within your reach. No.
Don't we have a real sponsor you could tag on that?
Actually, no. Brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store with the Buster Prime and Jetfire Dual Pack, now available thanks to Ender.
That's right.
So, So do we have any more insight on the upcoming cartoon other than Susan Blue and Michael Bell are going to be included?
Nothing except that anything with Susan Blue and Michael Bell is bound to be genius.
I agree.
Michael Bell, also the voice of Raziel from... the Legacy of Kain series, which somebody should fire up again.
Oh, I have no idea what that is.
It's a video game. It's fantastic.
Oh, alrighty then. Okay, so that moving on to comic news. Ender, what's in the comic world, oh comic genius that you are?
Well, we got this is a spoiler moment for some and not for others. IDW had some trouble with the Thanksgiving shipping schedules. So those of you out on the East Coast and somewhere in between, I'm not sure exactly where the Diamond shipping range stops, but half the country this week got Transformers number 2 and half of it did not. But the half that did got a pretty decent issue. I'll try to keep this relatively non-spoilery, though there's nothing giant going on in this issue. And it's almost kind of what makes it good.
Because nothing's going on.
Well, one of the things I really was looking at in the first issue that was bothering me was, I think if you're going to launch an ongoing series, you need to have a sustainable level of conflict and energy that you can keep going from week to week. And this issue had something much more like that, where there were things going on. There was some good action. There was some good dialogue. The story moved forward. The characters moved forward. But it was a month's worth of move forward. It wasn't like, you know, there are 16 events that, you know, nobody dies, nobody quits, no giant character shifts take place. The faces are actually largely fixed. And I was amazed how simple it was to do this. I don't think they shifted the whole artwork for it. They whited out the radiator teeth. And all of a sudden, the faces look okay. They're not my favorite faces. I mean, it's not doing anything personally for me. But, these things are not made for me. Mm. But they're readable. You can look at them and not feel, you know, I mean, the way faces looked in the last issue, I would look at them and want to look away. And that's a problem. But this one, they whited out those teeth. They got those sort of razor blades out of their mouth. They look less like corpses from that. I'd still like to see a little more aesthetically pleasing faces personally. But there's nothing wrong with these. They're just a different style.
Okay.
And when you white out those teeth, it totally fixed that. I don't know if it was something that Don Figueroa did himself or if they edited that in because they gotten some bad feedback about the faces, but the end result is a much more readable issue in terms of the visual. And I think by making the faces look a little better, they take the focus off of the faces and you really get to see the genius of these new designs, which are really good and are really innovative, and I don't have a problem with. We talked about this last week because we saw a version of those characters drawn with a more traditional liquid metal kind of face. And, you know, they looked much better then. And I think this issue really has that, even though it doesn't have the liquid metal face, it still has the sort of muscle tissue looking thing. Once you remove the corpse element of it, and I think Don's getting better at drawing these faces as well, it really just lets you see how cool these designs are. And they are really good designs. They are different. They're not what we're used to, but there is absolutely nothing wrong with them.
Cool.
They have a few more joints. They're a little more detailed. And again, not my absolute favorite, but a really good rendition of the Transformers and an innovative rendition of the Transformers, which is fun.
Okay.
I hope somebody steps on Spike.
He's that annoying?
He's really annoying. And the thing is like, if they're setting him up, which I kind of think I'm getting a feeling this is what's happening, they're setting him up for a bit of redemption where they're portraying him kind of negatively and are going to take him somewhere else later where he regrets the way he was. I love redemption stories. I absolutely love them. So I know they take some setup where you're sitting there hating a character, which is really difficult in a serialized medium,
right,
like comic books.
Well, all in all,
my worry is that if they're really trying to make him seem like he's cool because he's behaving the way he's behaving, if that's really meant to be good, it's just nauseating. I hope Prime steps on him. If that's how he's supposed to be. If this is supposed to be he's getting set up to be kind of a jerk that learns to be better, that's a very classic story. I got no problem with that. But if this sort of like, I'm going to act like I'm James Bond in 1959 is not cool. It's not cool anymore.
Well, what about... Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
Because it's misogynistic.
Okay, well then, speaking of misogynistic, or actually... Actually, I don't know. Speaking of something completely different, what about the turnaround comic from the Titan comic from Simon Furman?
Titan Comics. Now, Titan Comics, if, you know, for those of you who know, are comics published in the front half of a magazine, a Transformers magazine published in Britain. Very few U.S. fans probably get their hands on these. They've really been going uphill the last couple of months, I thought, despite... of all things, being about Skids and Mudflap.
So this is actually, the comic's actually pretty good is what you're saying.
Yeah, this comic in itself was a pretty good comic. It had a good amount of action. It had good dialogue. And, I think what I was... It's hysterical because both the artist and the writer seem to have glommed on to this philosophy of... how to write / draw Skids and Mudflap inoffensively. Don't. These characters are not Skids and Mudflap at all. Simon Furman is just flagrantly writing someone else. They are well spoken. They have plans. They're moving the story forward. They're actually funny in a non-offensive way. And the artist, in turn, he's drawing them. I think that this is one of my favorite parts of this installment. They never take their battle masks down.
Oh, really?
So the sort of parts of their faces that are considered to be kind of offensive are always covered.
Oh, really?
So they have face plates, essentially, and it makes a big difference. They don't look bad.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at some of the scans you have here, and they actually look really good.
Yeah, they do. And it really, it's just, I think it's hysterical. It's like sort of a comic about Skids and Mudflap that isn't.
Yeah.
And it makes it work. They also managed to work Ransack into it, which I think is just awesome.
Yeah, the little biplane.
Yeah. So Ransack is in this comic, and it's really very enjoyable. I think the last two issues, Furman has stepped up the writing. And I think that this issue in particular, because it never shows their faces.
It just goes to show that Furman could take crap and make it gold.
He's really managed to do that. This started off kind of rushed. I mean, rough. This was a multi-part thing. A few of them I wasn't too fond of.
Right.
But I think it's really reached its apex here where Furman is just like, oh, forget it. I'm not writing these jerks.
Yeah.
And the artist is just like, I'm not drawing these offensive faces.
Right.
And when you remove them, these are viable characters. When you remove the offensive dialogue and the offensive faces, these are viable characters.
It almost seems that, I don't know if this feels for you, but it seems like there's two different worlds of Transformers fighting over what Transformers should be right now. You got the people that really understand Transformers and know what Transformers should be, and then you got everyone that wants to make the big budget, you know, movie, you know, make a ton of money sort of type of deal, trying to direct Transformers in their sort of direction. And it's just, you know, I mean, the general public is probably not noticing this, but for the fans, it's just sort of colliding. And what we're seeing is the actual Transformers is coming through.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. Transformers is not a young franchise, and it's survived a lot of tumultuous times. It survived times when it was considered to be dead.
Hold on.
Hello.
Oh, my God. All right, one more time. It survived what?
It survived many times, at least two or three, when it was considered to be pretty much dead. And there's something about it that pushes through. And it's not just the gimmick, and it's not just the story. It's really something in between.
Well,
and I think there's sort of this movement like, oh, we want this mainstream audience. Oh, but we don't want to lose these fans. And I feel like most of the time they seem to be either doing this like insane fan wankery that isn't going to appeal to anybody. And then they use the failure of it to exemplify why they shouldn't do it. Or they're doing something completely out there that doesn't have much to do with what the franchise is. And the answer is really much more in the middle.
Right.
You need to have something that's there for the fans and that is also understandable to a more layman audience. Because I think the script we saw this week, I think this is a very fan-centric script.
Right.
I don't think people who are coming in from a general audience would be able to understand it. And I think it exemplifies why they're like, we can't just do a fan-centric thing. I think a lot of fans would like to see this script. If this were to be the script, I would probably like it more than I liked either of the previous movies. But I'm still looking at it going like, you know what? This is not good movie script. It is not a good way to bring the Transformers to the masses. And you need to come up with something that distills the parts of the Transformers in their more goofy form, which is to say like, you know, G1, Armada, whatever your preference is, but the things that are like universal that carry through. I think a lot of those things are things like, you know, people talk about, you know, Prime being a real father figure. He's a very unique main character in that way. Most main characters are supposed to make them feel like they're you.
Mm.
Prime's not like that. Mm. Prime feels like your dad.
Right.
It appeals to something specific. It appeals to a notion that you want your father to be great. You want your father to be, and it is. It's a real feeling. It's almost biological. It's a part of.
It's a part of the
human
psyche.
Storytelling. Yeah, it's a part of the psyche. It's a part of human storytelling that is really frequently neglected, and it's really tapped into in the Transformers. You want your dad to love you and protect you and to be great and wise. I think especially, I mean, I can only speak for, you know, the sex I represent, but you really want that from your father as a male.
Well, yeah, but beyond that, I think...
I mean, a lot of us are failed in that respect some of these stories.
Well, beyond that, I think the problem is that Transformers is just... It's a series about imagination. It's imagining... It's taking some of the best concepts of robots, a puzzle, and great storytelling, and combining them in characters which, you know, were really... I mean, really great special effects and really great voice actors. And when that all comes together, it works really, really well. The problem is that you have too many people sort of, you know, controlling different parts of Transformers. And then when they try to combine things, it turns into this gobbledygook of a mess.
Right.
You know, that's why sort of Apple works, because sadly, Apple's got one guy who basically makes a decision for everything in the company. So it's a little bit micromanaging. But that's where Transformers fails, is that we got the comics, we got a bunch of people, and Hasbro needs somebody to sort of step up into the game and say, you know, no, Michael Bay, this is what Transformers represent. You will do this or you will not get our franchise. And I think they sold way too early, because I think they thought, well, Michael Bay's going to do a crappy movie. It's not going to go anywhere. And then when they saw that, holy crap, if we actually do this right, this could be like the next Star Trek. You know, we could carry this on for 5 movies. And then they're starting to say, well, we need to start grasping our hands around this franchise we have and actually directing it, because people are taking it everywhere. I bet you this. This is my prediction. After the 3 Michael Bay movies, they will find a new director, and he will take it probably in the direction of what The Dark Knight did.
And on that note, I'm available.
I know you would be so picky about everything, you would drive everybody crazy. I don't think
that's a director's job.
Yeah, but
Before we get too far off into the movie tangent there.
Right.
I just want to say, I think, you know, conceptually, like we were talking about, that a lot of creative people take and get lost in the name and a few of the slogans. They get lost in the gimmick. They get lost in transformation. They get lost in robots in disguise. They get lost in the word Transformers. But really, I think what no one noticed when they built this franchise is they built something underneath it when they made the characters what they were. Right. And what they made them was characters with power and time.
Right.
And there's no slogan to go with that, but they made these characters live for millions of years, and they gave them a scale that made what we consider to be our scale irrelevant. And I think there's something sort of mythologically to that. They are very godlike in that way. Even the smallest Transformer, I mean, way back when, I mean, like, yeah, maybe Bumblebee could get taken down by the army if he, you know, got assaulted as a Volkswagen bug somewhere. But if a single Decepticon was out somewhere, there was nothing that could stop him but an Autobot.
Right.
They were simply of a different scale. And their understanding was of a different scale. And I think it's a very unique story concept that I can't think of much besides maybe like some sort of mythological god thing that covers these sorts of characters. It says, like, you'll live forever and you can squash anything in your path that isn't another one of you.
Well, that's
a very different way to look at characters.
Well, that plus, but when they go to an alien planet, that's when they have to rely on, you know, the humans. And that's where the actual tie to the human element works, is when they're somewhere they don't know where, you know, what's going on. And that's where G1 worked really well with the human element, because... Well, first of all, you didn't have stupid kids named like Rad or something dumb like that, which is a complete insult to, you know.
Well, it did have Chip.
Yeah, but you know what? Chip was not stereotypical like Rad and what was it?
Yeah, that's true. You know what? Chip, even in his wheelchair, was not as useless a character.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I watched the Armada series and the Unicron trilogy. I'm like watching this and I'm like, I was offended when they named a character Rad. I'm like, that's just... insulting children in general. I mean, it was like, and sadly, I think that series was probably better in the edited, non-edited format that I keep hearing about. But just watching that was just gut-wrenching, because it was like taking my Transformers and making it a stereotype for somebody that didn't understand what Transformers is about. And, you know, I mean, sadly, you know, Transformers star in Tokyo, but every time they sort of give the cartoon reins to everyone in Japan, it does not produce a good product.
Well, you know, I think it's sort of a misnomer to even say, like, you know, Transformers started in Japan, because the toys did. The toys did. They were a unique innovation out of Japanese culture, and I'm all for that. I don't want to downplay that. You know, whoever designed the first Optimus Prime, I forget his name, is a genius. But those toys even weren't doing as well in Japan as they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only when they sort of brought those things and said, how would you apply our mythological structure to these things?
Right. Marketing-wise.
Yeah. And it developed very organically. And, you know, nobody sat down and thought this up. It was just giant robots. You know, well, how do they live? How do, you know, and it's always what I say. It's that what would people who were giant robots be like? No one wants to know what giant robots would be like. That would be boring. People want to know what people who were giant robots would be like.
Right.
And that is what the Transformers brings. It has a very, you know, these things are, you know, the better to develop characters. We always harken back to G1, not because those characters are so much better than what anyone could come up with today, but because they have had time to develop. And there is just no substitute for that.
I agree. Once again, poignant points from Ender. Brought to you by our sponsor, Big Bad Toys.
My points are for sale.
All right. Well, with that being said, I think we're going to wrap up our Andrew, you always have a very good now, should I put the dialogue music behind that, though? It's kind of long.
I don't know. Well, you know, put it where it fits. But I think the reason people have not latched on to the movie in some ways, they've latched on to other parts of the Transformers mythos is because they have missed a lot of those points or have not played them properly.
Right. Well, there's still time to save it if they do it right, but it may be a while till they get that formula correct again. But either way,
I'm going to break down and write my own Transformers 3 script.
I thought that was from you, to be honest with you.
No, that's not me. That's not me.
All right. Well, with that being said, we now have a special announcement. All right, so now a special announcement. Da, 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 da. All right, so we're pre-recording this in advance because Jason has to leave in advance. So, okay, so here's what's going on, guys. Anthony sort of is changing positions at his job, and I'm sort of being relocated to a different department at my work.
So you're going to convert data instead of compile it?
All right, now serious. We have to be serious about this. This is a serious, serious discussion. So basically, a couple things have been going on. One, I've been trying to sort of figure out how to. This has been coming for a while. I've sort of been dealing with a little bit of burnout with the podcast, and been trying to figure out exactly when the best time would be to transition the podcast off into whatever the next person's hands would be. I was planning on doing this in June next year. That got pushed up to February, that got pushed up to January, and then with events at work, basically that got pushed up to the end of December. And I feel bad about this because I really, really do love the fans that we have received over the last couple years. I mean, this year has been a mammoth effort to try and get my voice into the Transformers fandom, and I cannot thank you fans enough for allowing us the ability to basically build this sort of environment where everybody can share their thoughts and images. Beyond that, I'm going to be starting to work probably a 60-hour work week, and that combined with a bunch of other things that my schedule is just driving me insane over. I've just reached a point where personally I'm at burnout, and otherwise I just don't have the time to produce a quality good show anymore, and I don't want to be producing crap. So with that being said, and this is sort of, you know, a very late notice, I was hoping to do this in January, February, we're probably going to be closing down the shop to the tformers.com podcast at the end of December here. Now, the good news is that we do have a very wonderful replacement. I've talked to Ryan Kilby from the Radio Free Cybertron, and he and his crew will actually be stepping into place for the official podcast for TFormers.com. So you can basically continue to get your Transformers news and views from there. But basically, this version of the T-Formers podcast will basically be ending in, let's see, this is the 13th. So we got two more shows. So with that, part of me feels a little bit, I feel bad because I really appreciate, once again, I really appreciate the fans. I really appreciate what they've done with us. And I really appreciate everyone basically giving us a voice in the Transformers community and so lovingly accepting, Jason, Ender, and everyone else that's contributed to the show. And especially the contributions in terms of the fans wanting to listen to us. I really have been touched. If it was a case where I had a little more time on my hands, I would definitely be able to try and continue this. But basically, if I'm going to be working 60-hour work weeks and being on call, it's just not going to be feasible. And quite honestly, I would rather conclude the show when we're on a high note than basically let it sort of flounder around until we're basically producing just utter bullcrap. So that being said, I'll turn it over to the thoughts of Jason and Ender at this point in the game, as they've been surprisingly quiet during this whole thing.
Well, we're just contemplating our future being put out to pasture, and would like to tell everyone that we'll both be at the Milwaukee Petting Zoo on Saturdays.
Well, Ender, you can catch. I mean, Ender, I've tried to, I've said you can actually join the Radio Free Cybertron crew. They've extended the invitation to both of you to be able to join their stuff. And, of course, MooBase 2 will probably have you on there whenever there's comic news. So, Ender, you have places to go. Yes. And people to meet.
People to yell at, yeah.
Yes. So, and I feel bad because, I know this is sort of like our card night where we get together and play stuff, but, literally, guys, I'm burnt out, and it's a case of if I don't want to continue on and then start producing crappy stuff, even more crappy than usual. So, Jace, your thoughts real quick.
Well, this all came up rather suddenly, as is the usual case with anything that you do.
Well, so, this has been in the works for a while.
Well, you consistently change the plans. But my point is that this for my end, it came up rather suddenly. And what I would prefer to do is I am going to, once I have a few moments to actually think of some interesting, coherent, sentiments to say, that this will not be today. I would rather obviously, write something, that I would then, potentially read on the final podcast and whatnot, which would, surmise my thoughts and feelings and whatnot. So that time is not at this exact moment.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I like that idea. I wouldn't mind taking a little time to compile some verbal abuse for the final show, perhaps.
Okay, well, you got 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh,
just so that you're aware, though, I'm not going to be here on the 27th, so we would either need to pre-record anything that I had to say, or we would need to do it on a different day, because that's the weekend after Christmas, and I will be traveling.
All right, well, then what's you want to do it maybe on the 28th?
That would probably – we'll talk. We'll find out what the schedules are. So.
Once again, I apologize. I was trying to plan and push this out for as long as possible, but literally thing after thing is starting to stack up on my plate at work, and it's one of those things where, unfortunately, making money sometimes comes first in terms of the meaning of survival. And sadly, a lot of these things just have to get pushed aside, and if I don't start sort of taking mental quality control, then I'm going to be just, you'll see me on the top of a building with a gun at some point here. So,
I put a pin on the calendar on the day I expect that, actually.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy doing the show. I love doing the show. We're sort of a little bit of a stagnant point of the Transformers news cycle, which I think is probably the best time to sort of bow out. But my schedule is just becoming ridiculously annoying with work. So, unfortunately, I sort of was trying to see if anyone else was going to interest in taking the reins. And unfortunately, no one else wants to do the heavy lifting on the technical side. So, it's one of those things where we just sort of said, well, who else would be a good fit? And thankfully, Brian Kilby was nice enough to step into the spot and actually say, we'd be willing to sort of fill your gaps. So, It's not saying, too, that you won't see The Last of Us. I'm sure I'll be around in the forums and occasionally pop up from show to show. But it's just a lack of time, unfortunately, with my schedule. And unfortunately, survival comes first in this particular case. So, and we'll get more sentimental on the last show. So, and once again, I apologize for the late notice. I was trying at least to give till the end of January. But I'm basically starting my new position, I was told, in 2 weeks, and that's just not feasible. So then on a happy note, we're going to end this little special thing and start the real show, although this will probably be put at the end, so either way, it doesn't matter. I want to thank all the fans. I want to thank all the hosts that have joined us throughout the course of a year and a half, 2 years, I think we're at. And I want to thank everybody for helping to actually prove something for me and prove the ability of people to actually I'm sort of at a loss for words at this point, but
save some of it for the last show, man. You're saying all your goodbyes.
I know. All right. So there we go. So, okay. So there's a little announcement, and I want to thank everybody for listening. So we will join you next week. Same transforming time, same transforming channel. And this has been Iron High 1975.
And this is Ender.
And we'll catch you later, folks.
Bumblebee, hey! Stop lubricating the man. Okay.
TFormers.com podcast is copyright 2009 TFormers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us email at podcast@TFormers.com. This has been an ENI production, all rights reserved.